Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Scoop Podcast. I'm Wildcat Authority Senior Editor Jason Scheer, and we are less than 48 hours away from Arizona's season opener against BYU in Las Vegas. I personally am headed out on Friday, going to make my drive down there, get there Friday night, and unfortunately, like you guys, I can't pregame the heck out of it, but I'll be there at the game and pretty excited to get back in a college football stadium, or a football stadium, I should say. It's not really a college football stadium, but excited to see the crowds and kind of get back in the atmosphere with the bands playing and all that, and it should be hopefully a fun game for Arizona fans. Back in Tucson on Thursday, Jed Fish held a press conference, one last press conference before the team leaves on Friday. And he didn't really touch on anything too crazy. Was asked some depth chart questions, asked how he's going about the week, etc. As far as the depth chart goes, there weren't a lot of surprises. Right now they're traveling 80 guys. There's going to be some guys that maybe surprise people in terms of who didn't travel. For instance, running back Bam Smith is probably the fifth running back on the roster right now, so there's really not any value in having a guy like him travel because you're not playing five running backs against BYU. Michael Wiley, Drake Anderson, Stevie Rocker, and Jalen John were the four running backs. No surprise there. Thought Rocker could maybe get the two spot. Honestly, it's probably Drake Anderson or Stevie Rocker. I think you could see some sets where they're on the field at the same time. Using Drake Anderson, we've talked about this in the past, but using Drake Anderson as more of a pass-catching running back, I think they're going to use that quite a bit. And Anderson's probably the best of the bunch in terms of being able to catch out of the backfield. On the offensive line, there wasn't really any surprises. There's one injury we can't talk about. We're not allowed to talk about injuries. During pregame, we'll probably be able to talk about it pretty quickly. In my opinion, there wouldn't be a huge drop-off. There'd be a drop-off. Anytime you go from a starter to a backup, there's a drop-off, but it's not the type of situation that would be crippling to Arizona's chances of success. But hopefully on Saturday, we can discuss that a little bit more on Wildcat Authority. Probably the biggest news of the offensive line was twofold. JT Han, true freshman backup at center, a legitimately good offensive lineman. Brandon Carroll said that had he been on campus normal time in the summer, like the other freshman, probably wouldn't be in the position that he is now. Was able to get to campus in January, worked really hard, and has really come a long way. He's still a freshman. You're still going to see some mistakes, but he's done very well during fall camp. And while Josh McCauley is a guy you want on the field at, you know, most of the times, I think that you'll see JT Han get in there a little bit and have some success. Edgar Barola at right tackle behind Peyton Fears is a guy who, to me, he's going to push eventually for a starting job. He's been very good throughout camp. Fears is a guy that Brendan Carroll likes, but I think at the end of the day, it wouldn't surprise me if Barola is just the better lineman. But we'll kind of see that unfold maybe as soon as this weekend. On the defensive side of the ball with the depth chart, nothing too crazy. Again, Jalen Harris, starting defensive end. There's four guys listed there with Nahe Salunga, Adisama Satanoa, and Sanatoa, and Jason Harris. Jason Harris came on strong near the end of camp. He deserves to be on the depth chart, even though it's the fourth spot. But the reality is that Jalen Harris isn't leaving the field very much. Kyan Bars was listed as the starter at defensive tackle. The reason why that's noticeable is because he missed pretty much all of camp with an undisclosed injury. We do know, sources have indicated, he has practice this week, and if he's ready to go, it's hard to keep him off the field. Lovell Tatum is the backup there. We say backup, but he's going to get plenty of playing time. He's a guy that was running with the first team quite a bit near the end of camp. The anchor position, J.B. Brown gets the start over Mo Diallo. I don't really think that matters, to be honest with you. I think Modiala winds up getting more snaps. It's going to be 50-50 at worst. You know, Don Brown said it best. He said that anchor position, it lines up over the tight end, and he wants to see a tight end that can block Modiala. And simply put, Diallo may already be, you know, probably top two linemen on the team, maybe top three for sure, but he's a guy that's going to make an immediate impact that I really, really like. So the fact that he's second on the depth chart is something that I wouldn't read into at all, to be honest with you. Linebacker position, no real surprises there. Pandy, Hayward, and Kenny Ebert. We've talked about Kenny Ebert before, transfer Vanderbilt. With him, it all comes down to health. If he's healthy, the coaching staff loves him, but that's a big if. I wouldn't expect him to dominate the number of snaps. I think Isaiah Johnson and him probably split the number of snaps for health reasons and the fact that Isaiah Johnson had a strong camp. Anthony Pandy at the will, backed up by Malik Reed, Rashi Hodge. Those two guys are going to play quite a bit because they're going to play in passing situations and they're going to be asked to cover tight ends. And to me, Malik Reed and Rashi Hodge are the two best linebackers in coverage, so there's going to be packages where they're going to go in, be asked to cover tight ends, and kind of be one of the more important parts of the defense. Jerry Roberts is a guy, battled injury a little bit towards the end of camp. We'll see if he's healthy, but if he's healthy, he's going to play quite a bit. Corner, not a lot of depth there. Rutherford and Christian Roland Wallace are going to play the majority of the game. Tre'Davious Stoops, should he play, should be also in there and should be fine to play as a third corner. The fourth corner, I'm not really sure there is one. Christian Roland Wallace isn't leaving the field unless he absolutely has to, and if he does, Malik Hausman's probably that guy. Isaiah Mays is listed as the third corner, but I'd be pretty surprised if he got any playing time at corner. Shaquillen Morgan is a guy that played well in camp. I'm curious to see if he travels as a true freshman. At safety, Jaden Young and Gunnar Maldonado, it's an or situation. They're both going to play plenty. There's probably going to be packages where they're on the field together. Every coach, defensive coach, and even Jed Fish today has spoken highly about Gunnar Maldonado and how well he's done in camp. So he's a guy where you got to keep a close eye on, and they like quite a bit. And, you know, even though the attention's been on Jaden Young in the offseason, Gunnar Maldonado is a guy that's really come on strong. Jackson Turner has also, he'll start at the rover position, which is pretty much the other safety. Isaiah Taylor, true freshman, makes the three deep, I should say, because he's behind Reddy Short, but he's a guy, another guy. All of a sudden, towards the end of camp, he was running with the twos and the threes, and he's a guy where, as a true freshman, they really like the progress that he's made. So, depth chart, not a lot of surprises, but I think the biggest thing is that there's actual depth. That's something where, in the past few years, while it was called a depth chart, there's really like one guy at each position, if that. And behind them, there was really no legitimate depth, and I think that was a concern. Arizona still has a ways to go in certain areas. They need to improve at the corner. You'd like to see some more depth, you know, maybe on the offensive line. But overall, it is a considerably deeper team, especially defensively, than it was last season. As far as BYU's depth chart goes, let's just kind of look at the overall matchup. It's just better off doing that. Instead of breaking down their depth chart. But, I mean, the first thing that really stands out is that quarterback Jaren Hall won the quarterback competition. If you even want to call it a quarterback competition, I think it was the situation where it would have taken Jaren Hall just completely struggling to lose the starting position, to not be the starting quarterback in the season opener. You'll hear the coaches say that Baylor Romney and freshman Jacob Conover came on strong, but the reality is that Jaren Hall was the guy. He showed why he was the guy in his limited action last season. And the biggest concern with him is just overall mobility. Biggest concern for Arizona is overall mobility. He can get to the outside. They'll run some zone read option type of stuff with him, but he still has a good arm. Like, don't be fooled and assume that because he can run, he's a running quarterback in the sense where he's not a good thrower. He has the arm. He's just mobile. And so that's going to challenge Arizona's defense to get on the edges, contain the edges, and kind of be disciplined. And the way that BYU is going to try to make them pay is with those tight ends. BYU has a very good tight end unit. What you'll see is they'll use a guy named Isaac Rex as a true freshman. He had 12 touchdown catches. He's a guy with, he had, I think, two or three games where he had two touchdowns in the game. He is a major major weapon, and he's a guy where I mentioned this before, but it'll be interesting to see how Don Brown kind of handles the linebackers. Does he trust Hodge or Malik Reed to go with him one-on-one? And he's not a big yardage guy necessarily. He had 96 yards against UCF, but for the most part, you know, you'll see him get 20, 30, a couple games, I think he had 40. But he had 37 receptions, and the 12 touchdowns is big. Two against Texas State, two against Boise State, two against some random school that you probably never heard of, and two against San Diego State, and two of UCF. So the random school you never heard of, by the way, is Northern Alabama. So that doesn't count. But for the most part, he's tough. I mean, he is a matchup nightmare. And then they got a guy named Dallin Holker who came back from his mission that they absolutely love. I mean, he is another tight end on BYU that is going to be a complete stud. In 2018, he had 19 receptions for 235 yards and a touchdown. But he's a guy who went on a mission, and then he came back 6'5", 240 or whatever it may be. And he's a guy where he came back, and it's like he never went on the mission. I think he's like 230, actually. But it's like he never went on the mission at all. And so these guys are going to make Arizona pay if the linebackers aren't disciplined and aren't able to kind of stay in their gaps and cover their man. And I think that's one of the things where it becomes very interesting for Don Brown's defense, because you want to be aggressive. That's what Don Brown does. Now, keep in mind, everyone calls him Dr. Blitz, and he doesn't have a problem with it. He joked that he's been called worse. But the thing that he's adamant about is, yeah, there's pressure, but it's not the type of pressure where it's always blitzing. Like, sometimes they'll show pressure and it'll kind of be there, but it's not necessarily like they're all kind of blitzing. You know, it's going to be like, hey, we're going to show you blitz, but that doesn't mean we're coming. You have to figure out whether or not we actually are blitzing. And so what they'll do is they'll throw different looks at Jaren Hall. I think you'll see them trying to complicate situations. The offensive line lost some guys. You know, they're returning some veterans. James Empey at center is fantastic, one of the best in the country. But they're going to challenge those guys who are all very big, starting a freshman at guard, another couple sophomore freshmen. So they're going to try to make those guys kind of figure it out. The issue is, you know, if they blitz, where do they come from? Are they able to contain the linebackers? Are they able to contain the edges? And one of the questions about Don Brown's defense is, how does the aggressive defense work against a mobile quarterback? And we're going to find that out right away. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of, does Don Brown blitz aggressively like he normally would? Does he hold back? Does he show blitz but not really blitz all the time? How do they kind of attack that? And then, you know, you got the Nacua brothers at wide receiver. I'm interested to see how much they play. They struggled with injuries. Kalani Sitake said that they'd be fine for the season opener, but for all we know, that means they play one snap and they come out. I mean, we don't know. But they still have size with Gunnar Romney and Neil Poe, and they have bigger receivers, press coverage. It's going to be interesting. That Arizona defense is going to be tested right off the bat. Don Brown's system is going to be tested right off the bat, and it's pretty intriguing to see how this defense does overall. In terms of BYU's defense, linebacker, linebacker, linebacker. Peyton Wilgar, Keenan Peely, Max Tooley at Rover. They just have guys that make plays. And they have some newcomers, Tyler Batty at defensive end. They've got some overall younger guys at certain positions. But the secondary is experienced and strong. The linebackers are, you know, maybe as deep of a unit as Arizona will face all season. There is talent at that position. And so, to me, the biggest curiosity I have is how Jed Fish is going to choose to open up this game against BYU offensively. And what I mean by that is, what type of offensive tempo does Jed Fish want to set? Now, when Coastal Carolina beat BYU last year, the reason they did it was because they were able to kind of take chunk plays, give what BYU gave them, take time off the clock, and really just execute at a high level. BYU's defense has no issues with an offense that gets those, you know, 3-4 yard gains, keeps it in front of them, and then BYU's defense makes the stops when necessary. Does Jed Fish live with that and say, you know what, on third down, we're going to have to come with conversions, we're going to have to come with some chunk plays, and we'll be fine? Or is he a little more aggressive? Does he establish the run early, or does he try to get Gunnar Cruz into a groove and say, you know what, you need to calm down? And, you know, that comment's nothing personal. It's like I asked Jed Fish in the press conference. I said, how do you get rid of the early nerves? 60,000 people on the road, even if it's a neutral site, first real game in over a year. And he's like, we don't. Like, we kind of got to work through it because it's inevitable. And it is inevitable, in my opinion, as well. So how does Jed Fish work through it? You know, does he establish the rhythm with the run game? Does he have Gunnar Cruz calm down with some easy completions? Does he throw a bomb the first play and kind of send a message that he's confident in his quarterback? I think it's a big deal. I think those scripted plays will set the tone for the game. And it's a long football game. It's not like a deciding drive. But we don't know. I think that's the big thing is, we don't know, and BYU doesn't know what Jed Fish's offense looks like. We have an idea based on practice and fall camp, but we don't know what the last past week or two they've been working on, and you know, behind closed doors. And when they go and review tape, Fish joked and said, "Oh, well, maybe they have to watch my 17 stops." And he's joking, but it's kind of true because Jed Fish has only so many times had full control of his offense, and he definitely obviously hasn't had full control of his program previously. So it's like, what offense are we expecting? Is it going to be tricky? Is it going to be attacking the edges? Is it super pro? Is it two tight ends and fullback all the time? Is it three tight ends all the time? And, you know, it's a situation where you can't watch Arizona on tape offensively last year. You literally, if you're BYU, you didn't watch 1 minute. Maybe if you want to see what the skill players look like, but other than that, it's a waste of time. And so what do? Do you watch Jed Fish at UCLA? Well, that wasn't necessarily completely his offense. Like, how do you scout Arizona's offense? And so I'm curious how BYU attacks, because BYU isn't an aggressive defense. So do they say, you know what, this is a new offense, let's see what kind of mistakes Arizona makes, keep them in front of us? My guess is they do, but they could choose the opposite route too. They could be a little more aggressive than normal and say, we're going to force some mistakes and be a little more aggressive than we usually are because we don't trust Arizona's quarterback and this offensive line, etc. So there's a lot of intrigue overall in this game. I picked BYU to win because I think at the end of the day, you're only as good as your personnel for the most part. Like, there's a reason I love Nick Saban, but there's a reason why Alabama's so good. The talent on that team is a joke. Same with Clemson. Same with the top, you know, five teams, the top teams in the Pac-12, whatever it may be. And so I think that Arizona has already taken a major step since last season. But when you compare the personnel overall, BYU is the more talented team. I mean, for the most part, they have better players at, you know, more positions. And that's really oftentimes what it comes down to. I asked on the message board, what's a win? Like, don't tell me the final result is the only way you'll be happy. Like, what would make you happy? And I think for me, as if I was a casual fan, if Arizona keeps it within the spread and shows fight, I think that Arizona fans should be generally happy. If it wins the game, I'd be very surprised, but I don't think it's impossible. I don't view this as a game where Arizona's going to go in and get, you know, just run off the field. It doesn't feel like that to me. But I think people need to remember that the last game Arizona played was 70-7. And so I'm not saying, you know, if Arizona loses 60-14, it's better. No. But I think that if Arizona shows that it's made a major jump forward and is willing to compete, because let's be real here, they didn't compete and want to compete against ASU. If they're willing to compete against BYU and play their butts off and keep this game relatively close for a good portion of it, I think it's a step in the right direction. If they get blown out, I think it's going to be really hard to get people in the stands against San Diego State, because at the end of the day, Arizona fans are they want to see results. Whether it's early, late, wherever it is in the process, they want to see results. So there's a lot of intrigue. Really curious to see Arizona on both sides of the ball because it's so new. A lot of times you see coaching changes and maybe they keep a coordinator here or there, position coaches. This is new. Up, down, you know, we have no idea what to expect, and it's pretty exciting in that regard. So we'll see how Arizona does on Saturday. We'll have a follow-up podcast on Sunday to review everything. Make sure you check out wildcatauthority.com. We have a full preview, prediction, a couple more interviews, all that. And, check it out. So once again, I'm Jason Shear, senior editor of wildcatauthority.com, and this has been the Wildcat Scoop Podcast.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.